Dear friends of Jesus Christ, have you ever heard of the concept holding environment? It's a phrase or a concept that was introduced by a Dr. Donald Winnicott. He was a pediatrician psychoanalyst, he died in 1972. And he said that when a baby is evicted from the womb, kicking and screaming, it requires a holding environment, meaning a place that is safe and caring. And Winnicott thought that a mother cradling her baby, breastfeeding, was in some sense the model of this holding environment, because in that embrace, the child received not only nourishment, but in the embrace, he experienced love and oftentimes made eye contact with the mother, so that now and again, she would be smiled into smiling. Now, the mother cradling the babe, of course, soon changes, and then it becomes the home, and say, the family. Dinner time becomes that holding environment. And then more communities, and the church might become, for that child now, a holding environment where she experiences that which is essential to the human condition, namely to feel secure and to feel loved or cared for. Now, this holding environment, these holding environments, strike me as being a type of all of the ultimate holding environment, namely God's love for us in Jesus Christ as our holding environment. I mean, Jesus says here to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love, or remain in it, or continue in it, or even make your home in my love. Now, this love, Jesus says, is the same love with which the Father has loved him and loves him. And so immediately you begin to understand, as you contemplate that, that this love is extraordinary, that it is in some sense unfathomable. I mean, last week we talked a bit about the God is love, and how that defines, that love defines the very character and nature of God. And now Jesus says that this love now reaches out to us, and we are to make our home in it. And the word, it's kind of interesting, this word love in all these instances is agape. And sometimes, you know, the church has said that means love to the unworthy, a wonderful love to those who are not lovely. But here, the Father has an agapic love for the Son, and Jesus has an agapic love towards us. And so agape, at its root, means a desire or even a passion for community, for relationship. So as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This holding environment, there's a verse, of course, in Romans 8, those very famous words where the Apostle Paul says, who will separate us from this love? I mean, this is how secure this environment, this holding environment is. Who in the world could separate us from this love in Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, no, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. There is nothing in all of creation, either in this life or in death, that can take away from us that which we most essentially need to be fully human, namely to feel safe and loved. Now, I've read sometimes people who will say that it is true, we all need, our children, we need to be told by our parents that we are safe and loved. But I remember one person said, it's basically a lie. It's basically a lie. we are not safe. And the universe doesn't give a rip about us. Now, it seems to me that would be true, that it is a lie, if it weren't for this ultimate holding environment. If they weren't all pointing to this safety that we have in Christ, this love that we have in Christ. And then it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. How odd it seems to me that a lie is absolutely essential to raising healthy children. I mean, I'm just saying, that's strange. If it were true that it is a lie. But we say it's not a lie. It is rock bottom truth. We have it from the words of our Lord, that as the Father loves him, so he loves us, and we are to remain in that love. So that's the first thing. There's this holding environment, which is the very love with which the Father loves the Son, with which the Son loves us. And now we are to remain in it. We are to, as I said, make our home in it. And if you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So now, all of a sudden, it seems to be conditional. A couple of things. First, it's not because we obey the commandments that we are the recipients of this holding environment. That is sheer grace. It is as much grace and a gift as the birth of a child. I mean, that's a gift. Our lives are gifts. Our being in this holding environment of God's love is a gift. But there is the potential of leaving the holding environment. If Paul were writing that those verses from that I read from Romans 8 about nothing can separate us, I would have said, "Now, Paul, what's your impression of sin? Could sin do it?" Because Jesus says, "If you want to obey, if you want to be, if you want to remain in my love, you must keep my commandments," and that. That strikes me as exactly right, because as we sometimes say, sin, I mean, sometimes we define it as missing the mark or lawlessness, but we also define it as trespassing. So for instance, our Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, and this is, I think, Matthew's version, has forgive us our trespasses. And the fact that we are in danger of trespassing suggests that there are boundaries, that this holding environment has boundaries, and that we are prone to wander from the Lord we love. We are prone to wander. We are prone to leave this holding environment. I mean, let me be very extreme here. I remembered as I was reflecting on this something that my teacher, Henry Staub, in the seminary, taught us. I don't know what the occasion was, but we were talking about hell, and we were wondering how it was that Jesus could say about hell that it was both the outer darkness and the fiery furnace. How could that jive? And then Henry Staub said that hell was the natural consequence of human actions. And now I'm going to read to you what in fact he said, because it was published. Staub says, hell is made by those who climb the holy mountain and try to unseat the Holy One, who, ablaze with glory, dwells in the light unapproachable, and those who mount an attack on God and cross the barrier of his exclusive divinity die like moths in the flame of him who will not and cannot be displaced. And he said, hell is made by those who, turning their backs on God, flee from the light and move towards the eternal blackness that marks God's absence. He said, hell then is unarrested sin's natural and programmatic end. Sin is either rebellion or flight, attack or flight. And when persisted in and not repented of, leads either to the fire of God's glory or the cold and desolate night of God's absence. Jesus pleads with us, remain in my love. Curb that desire to wander. We are to live lives in this holding environment, doing God's will. This whole business of doing God's will, it's not a static kind of thing. It's an ongoing conversation in which you continually, in your day-to-day affairs, seek to find those things that are from God and that will bring you closer to God and enable you to walk alongside of His desires and to avoid those things that are against God and that will drive you away from God. Our goal here in this life, the scriptures tell us, it's not that we make a name for ourselves or that we build up our careers or have big families or any of those things. Our goal here is to live life obeying God's commands, to seek what is the will of God. That's what life is about, to do that which God wills us to live for. So, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. And then, of course, you remember Jesus saying, my meat is to do the will of the Father. When he is tempted to make bread out of stones, he says, we do not live by bread alone, but from every word, by every word that comes from the Father's house. We are not to serve anyone but the Lord. So this remaining is a life of faithfulness. And then he says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So that my joy may be in you. So what is Christ's joy? And what is this joy? I mean, I think there are all kinds of ways to define this joy. I was thinking this joy here is to know yourself to be in the Lord's will. To be in the Lord's will is to experience a sense of joy, a sense of fulfillment. Your spirit soars the way a eagle soars in an updraft. C.S. Lewis, when he talks about joy, says it is heaven's serious business and that it is in our experiences a longing for belonging, for being at home. It's to come to those moments when time nearly stands still and you feel like this is what life is meant to be in harmony with God, with our neighbor, with creation, with ourselves. Karl Barth said about joy that it is the simplest form of gratitude. The simplest form of gratitude. One theologian, Robert Jensen, when he wrote two volumes on systematic theology, he finished by writing, in the end, joy. You see, this holding environment, I know that sometimes it can become a holding cell. And it happens, I think, when we are no longer in communion with God and seeking to follow Him, but we're simply living with rules and with opinions. And we chafe under them. And there's no joy in them. Or like I was talking to somebody recently who said he believed in God. And I said, well, that's great. The devil believes in Him. The question is, do you worship Him? Do you find joy in God? Jesus says that he loves us with the love that he has from the Father, and we're to remain in that love by seeking to do his will so that we may have joy. So that this hoping environment is not a holding cell, but a place where you can flourish and grow. So then Jesus says, "This is my commandment," he repeats this again, "that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." Now, we talked about a good deal of this last Sunday, about this love commandment and how it is so essential. That the same passion that we find in Christ to restore community be also present in our lives. And Jesus says, you know, this is love, that one lays down one's life for one's friends. You know, and then some say, well, how about sinners? Sinners too, even enemies. But here he's addressing his friends, and he says, to lay down your life for one another, that there is no greater love. And then, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Dear friends of Jesus Christ, we're his friends. Now, the word in the Greek is philos. It means beloved. And Raymond Brown, who has a really great commentary on John, says, you know, every time, for instance, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, he was loved by Jesus. Abraham was called a friend of God. Isaiah says he was beloved of God. So we are beloved. And to call yourself beloved and to feel beloved on the earth is a wonderful thing. To be beloved. But here, this friendship is, I think, a bit more than just being beloved. It also points to the fact that as friends, Jesus has shown us the Father's will. He has revealed God's heart to us so that we are no longer servants simply doing this and that because that's what's commanded and that's what's commanded. We are friends. We have been let in. We have been let in on the purpose of God, what his goals are. And we, in this holding environment, we are challenged to work with the Spirit, following Jesus, to establish the reign of God in the world. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. When I was checking up on this holding environment, there are those who have replaced the phrase holding environment with this phrase. It's an enabling environment. So this holding environment becomes an enabling environment, enabling us to follow Christ and to obey God's commands to live worthy lives of the gospel. May Jesus Christ bless us, dear friends of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.